Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast, sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show being brought to you by our good friends at Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Auto Home Life Business Insurance. If service and price means something to you, then Kratzer Insurance is the way to go. They've served the Valley for more than 50 years. All right. Jerry Angelo, who for 12 seasons was the general manager of the Chicago Bears, has put together his ratings of every NFL quarterback. The ratings were done before the Super Bowl. Okay, so let's get to what he has here. Okay, we're going to start out at the elite level. These are the elite quarterbacks in his rating system, 9.0 to 8.5. Okay, he uses a 9-point system. So from 8.5 to 9.0, the upper class of quarterbacks, they can elevate the play of their team, they have extraordinary makeup physically and the intangibles. They are elite players. So we'll start at the bottom and work our way up. 8.5, Andrew Luck, Indianapolis Colts. Angelo writes, if you're in a pickup game and you're picking him first, he plays with reckless abandon. He'll have some bonehead plays, but so did Brett Favre. After watching him in the playoffs this year, he made some terrible decisions that led to turnovers. Yes, he responded well to those turnovers, but he put his team in major holes through turning over the football. He's fearless, and as he matures, his game will improve. The only thing he's missing is a championship ring. He's also going to get 7 players back this year that were injured and missed the playoffs, including Reggie Wayne. There are not many teams that can lose a Reggie Wayne and feel that they're headed in the right direction offensively. 8.6, Philip Rivers of the San Diego Chargers. For the first time in his career, he played beyond the sum of his parts. He was a driven leader who got results in big games. His play was special, and his team overachieved because of it. Next, moving up to the next spot, which would be the number 5 spot, Drew Brees at 8.7. He plays as fast as any quarterback in football, and given his height, he's done extremely well. He can see around the defense. He can throw over it as well as any quarterback in his mold. He struggled more than other elite quarterbacks on the road. Comfort level has to do more with his performance than supporting cast. Tied with him in the 4th spot is Cam Newton of the Carolina Panthers at 8.7. Special talent with flaws. He took a good team and had them playing consistently well. They didn't back into any divisional championship. They took it, and he led the charge. Needs to continue to grow in his football IQ, and you watch him play, you can just tell he's just so much smarter as to how he plays out there. More work in the classroom is the key to his continued development. In the number 3 spot with an 8.8 rating out of 9, Aaron Rodgers. Gifted arm with crossbow accuracy. He can maneuver and find a target downfield as well as any quarterback. His late in-game heroics are well documented. You may sack him, but you can't stop him. Aaron Rodgers. 8.9, the number 2 spot, belongs to Tom Brady. Had one of the finest years because of what he had to overcome to lead his team to another extraordinary season. When they talk about Peyton Manning, they always use Tom Brady as a comparison. There's only one perfect score on here at 9.0, and that belongs to Peyton Manning. They said in the class by himself in Jerry Angelo's eyes this year. Sees the game so much better than any other quarterback he has ever seen. Stats, NFL records, they all speak for themselves. You okay there so far?
I'm counting down with you.
Okay. Anybody missing in there you thought should be there or should be ahead of anybody?
I can't believe Tony Romo was. I didn't hear that one.
Nope, he's not in the next level either.
Just kidding.
8.0 to 8.4. 8.0, Nick Foles. These guys play at a high level, a big reason, but not the reason for the team's success. Really good, but not elite. Nick Foles, 8.0, put up top numbers, achieved the best quarterback rating in football. Once they made the change to him, they won. He knows how to protect the ball and get them into the end zone. The thing I like about Foles is mature enough not to force a play, that he understands that it's okay that if it's second down and there's nothing there and I throw it away, I come back to live again on third down. That's one of the things about him I really, really like. There are very few times where you have to force the ball. He understands that. 8.3, Alex Smith of Kansas City. High IQ in the classroom and on the field. He's mobile and tough. Not as good as Rich Gannon, but I like his arm. He consistently maximizes on the extent of his abilities. This is the opinion of Jerry Angelo, the former Bears GM for 12 years. 8.4, Colin Kaepernick. A great talent. Though he has size and arm strength, he's not comfortable yet as a pocket passer. Vision is tunneled and relies more on athleticism than he does to read and make plays when things start to unravel. When his instincts kick in, he can take over a game. 8.4, Russell Wilson. He has all the savvy you want for the position. His size and arm and talent do limit him. You can win with him because he follows the script and he can make plays downfield. He's a great leader. He keeps defenses honest with his playmaking ability. 8.4, Andy Dalton. Just kidding.
I was really going to question the validity of this.
8.4, Ben Roethlisberger. Still has the power in his arm and the hang-in toughness to move an offense. So he has Roethlisberger as the eighth best quarterback. Now we get to the 7.5 to 7.9 range. Okay, we have gone through how many guys now? We've gone through 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So this is the 13 through 16 range. 7.5 to 7.9. Talented, good history of play. They've had a subpar year, lack durability, deficiency in the intangible area, poor cast around him, poor coaching. Any of these reasons have kept him from playing to his potential. Maybe a descending player as well. Well, it's the 7.5 to 7.9 range. All four of these quarterbacks receive 7.9. First of all, Matthew Stafford. I want to tell you right now, I expect between you and me, Kev, and obviously the audience, watch for Matthew Stafford to have a breakout season next year. Jim Caldwell, as his head coach, I think can do wonders with him. Stafford, in Angelo's eyes, not only did not win games for the Lions this season, he also lost games for his team. Carelessness with the football, inaccurate throws, poor mechanics will prevent him from ever turning into an elite quarterback. Calvin Johnson masks a lot of his faults. Good point. Jay Cutler. Now remember, Jerry Angelo traded for Jay Cutler. Has all the physical tools, but inconsistent in the clutch, mostly due to his lack of poise. He's not comfortable reading defenses, and consequently locks onto a favorite or predetermined target that may or may not be the right choice. The less he's asked to see, the better he is. Interesting. A better half-field general than a full-field one. By the way, received a great email yesterday from a guy I consider to be a good friend, Charlie Fisher. He'd been the quarterback's coach here for 2 years. Of course, from the Valley, he has taken a job with Richmond. Also 7.9. And I mentioned that. Why did I mention Charlie there? Because Jay Cutler and Charlie were together at Vanderbilt. Tony Romo. He has a blind spot. His instincts are just
one.
His instincts are just average, and his accuracy is not consistent enough given the amount of times they let him wing it. And that's what he does. He wings it. His mental toughness is suspect. Physically, he's in the danger zone given two back surgeries. Last but not least in this grouping, Matt Ryan. A good but not a special player. tough-minded, smart, has arm talent, but is not elite. He needs a good cast around him. When he is not supported with talented receivers, a solid line, and good running game, you do see his flaws, which we saw this past season. 7.0 to 7.4. At 7.0, Eli Manning. He showed this year as he did when he lost Plexico Burress. He's only as good as the sum of the parts around him. He lost his confidence and poise this year. A veteran quarterback with his pedigree, that should not have happened, regardless of the injuries. 7.1, Joe Flacco. He only gets into this category because of his Super Bowl win. I'm not sold he has the ability to be an elite quarterback. He can play too cautious and get locked onto a receiver. He can be hot and cold, needs to be more room temperature. If the Ravens are going to make a run again, that's what he has to do. 7.3. I'm not quite sure about this. You give me a choice between Carson Palmer and Eli Manning. You give me a choice between Eli Manning and these four guys, it's Eli Manning.
I don't even know who the four guys are, but I could guess.
Yeah. Carson Palmer. He's experienced with size, arm strength, good accuracy. He's an adequate learner with good football sense. He can make big plays given his arm talent, but is not going to play over mediocre coaching or marginal supporting cast. That's why I tell you, Bruce Arians, huge having him. Bruce Arians, really, really good. 7.4, Andy Dalton. Top character and work habits, is book smart, average football IQ. He's in his comfort level when everything around him is working. He struggles when it's all on him. His accuracy is not as sharp as his ability to read coverage. Part of his problem is when he was overused. Too many attempts for a pedestrian quarterback. You can like him, but you cannot love him. Now we get to the 6.5 to 6.9 range. There are only two quarterbacks in this one. At 6.8, Sam Bradford. Top intangibles, good size, arm strength. Can make all the throws, but yet to make them consistently for a season and not in a handful of games. Has one more year to show it. History says the longer it takes, the lower his ceiling. 6.9, Robert Griffin III. Talented, but yet to define himself as an NFL quarterback. He won't have a successful career by working outside the pocket. Not one at his position did or will. Too many games and too many hits keep quarterbacks from having careers based on their feet rather than their pocket accuracy. 6.0 to 6.5. There are a lot of guys in here. So I'm just going to read names now. 6.0, Terrell Pryor. 6.0, Thad Lewis. Now this one I disagree with. 6.0, E.J. Manuel. He should be higher than a couple of the names in here, including the next name. 6.2, Geno Smith. You give me a choice between E.J. Manuel and Geno Smith. I take E.J. Manuel. 6.3, Mike Glennon. Now, he had a good year, I thought, with Tampa Bay when he got his chance. Now, he does say he holds on to the ball too long. But I think in time, he'll get over that. 6.3, Ryan Tannehill. 6.3, Jake Locker. 6.4, Matt Schaub. 6.4, Kyle Orton. 6.4, Josh McCown. Okay, now we get to the lower level guys, obviously. We'll just read the list to you. This is the 5.5 to 5.9 guys that can be emergency as a starter, do not have the mental makeup or the physical talent to perform as a consistent starter, temporary relief but not a long-term solution. Michael Vick, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Matt Cassel, Kellen Clemens, Chad Henne, Matt Moore, Brian Hoyer, Christian Ponder, Mark Sanchez, Josh Freeman, Brandon Whedon, Jason Campbell, Blaine Gabbert, Charlie Whitehurst, Brady Quinn, Seneca Wallace, Sean Hill, Tavares Jackson, Luke Mason, Dan Orlovsky, Rex Grossman, Derek Anderson. Bottom group, 5.0 to 5.4. Band-Aid can get you through a game, not a starter, lacks arm strength or needed accuracy, maybe missing some intangible toughness, instincts, whatever. Cannot win with him regardless of supporting cast or coaching. 5.4, Kirk Cousins. 5.0, Colt McCoy. 5.0, Matt McGloin. He says a lot of moxie with marginal arm talent, no traits to complement top intangibles. 5.0, Case Keenum. 5.0, Scott Tolzien. 5.0, Jordan Palmer. 5.0, Jimmy Clausen. Kirk Cousins I would have higher than that. I like Kirk Cousins. Now, do I think he's a guy? I think he has to have a lot of talent around him to win, but I like him. He should be higher than that. Of his starting quarterbacks, here's his list top to bottom. 1, Peyton Manning, then Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, 3, Andrew Luck, 4, Drew Brees, 5, Philip Rivers, 6, Cam Newton, Ben Roethlisberger, 8, Russell Wilson, Colin Kaepernick, 10, Alex Smith, Nick Foles, 12, Matt Ryan, Tony Romo, 14, Jay Cutler, Matt Stafford, Andy Dalton, Carson Palmer, Joe Flacco, 19, and Eli Manning, 20, Robert Griffin, 21, Sam Bradford, then Matt Schaub, Ryan Tannehill, 24, Jake Locker, Mike Glennon, Geno Smith, 27, E.J. Manuel, Terrell Pryor, 29, Christian Ponder, Blaine Gabbert, and last but not least, the only guy in the history of the NFL drafted past his prime, Brandon Whedon. How about that list? That's Jerry Angelo, 2001 to 2012. He was the general manager of the Chicago Bears. And they did go to one Super Bowl under him with Rex Grossman as quarterback. Really?
Wonder where Rex would have been in that list.
Woo. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Who has all the time for shopping around company to company for insurance? And do you really understand what you're getting? Price is nice, but peace of mind is best protection for your dollar, and that's priceless. For 50 years, people of the Susquehanna Valley have trusted the Kratzer Insurance Agency to do all the work when it comes to insurance. As an independent insurance agent with resources of many companies, they can find the policy that is right for you without giving up local, reassuring service that is lost by online or long-distance companies. Whether it's auto, homeowners, life, or business, think Kratzer Insurance in Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Right now, Allied Insurance is lowering rates for preferred auto classes. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KrautzerInsurance.com. You may qualify.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security.
The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
But it'd be nice if someone noticed that they've all been working hard, pushing these rocks around, trying to gain some ground. Got to keep the Canadians down, and all they gotta do is curl.
Canadians is, sorry, we can't lose to Canada.
I don't know.
You find it acceptable?
No. I don't find it acceptable in curling.
I mean, really? I mean, what kind of American are you?
Listen, you have to give some countries their due. I mean,
No.
You don't want to give the Netherlands speed skating? I'm sorry.
Let's give the Cleveland Browns credit. Let's give the Bengals credit. Let's do an entire show. We give the Cincinnati Bengals credit. Go ahead, Steeler fan. Tell me right now how much you're going to enjoy giving the Cincinnati Bengals and the Baltimore Ravens credit.
Well, that's like the U.S. in basketball.
It's the Olympics.
Canada doesn't win hockey, they're ticked off.
The Netherlands or the Ravens.
And the Netherlands, that's their national sport is speed skating. That's like the U.S. losing a game in basketball at the Olympics.
Dan Jansen, Bonnie Blair, come on. We used to dominate. West Allis, Wisconsin, come on. I know what's going on. I know the deal. It bothers you. I know so much.
Well, I knew Dan Jansen and Bonnie Blair.
Yeah, and West Allis, Wisconsin. We were out there all the time on that track, all the time. Okay, cranking out one speed skater after another. We owned the thing. Owned it. Now we own make-believe stuff that they do over at Tussie Mountain.
Well, we can't all be Apollo Antonono.
Yeah, but even that's a make. That's a new one, too.
Is he officially the most decorated winter athlete?
I have no idea. Not really.
I think he is.
Whatever. It's, you know. But you're out there. It's so neat what the Netherlands is doing. It's really neat what the Ravens have done recently, isn't it?
That's football. Steelers. This is, that's different.
Steelers.
That's
no,
football.
It's not. It's
yes,
sport.
It is.
It's sports.
It's different. It's football.
Sports. They're not wearing our jersey.
It's still different. I don't know how to describe it, but it's still different.
It's still different?
It's still different. I don't know how I can explain it, but it's different.
So you were really, really happy, okay, when Sean White didn't medal today? Because it was different.
No, I was disappointed. I was disappointed for him. I know he put everything he had into it.
You were disappointed. Okay, but it was okay and different that Bodie Miller did not medal.
But Bodie had a bad run.
Guess what? We need good runs. We're America. I'll take second place to anybody.
We're number two in the world in all-time Winter Olympic medals.
Not good enough. I mean, you're out there. I root for the front of the jersey, baby. You're out there rooting for the back of the jersey. It's been your M.O. forever.
It is. I'm consistent that way.
Front of the jersey. USA. Is it jingoistic? You're darn right it is. I know where I live.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
So in the Kevin Herr method of sports, I'm going over to Lash Building tonight, and I'm going to give Christian Hackenberg and all the players bronze medals for finishing third in the leaders division.
It's the Olympics. First, second, and third are honored. It's not my fault that the Big Ten doesn't honor second and third.
Fine. Okay. So, didn't those doggone Atlanta Braves have a great year, Kevin? It's great. Let's root for the Atlanta Braves.
But they're not set to get an award. That's the thing. They're set to go to the playoffs if you're first. If the Olympics just gave a gold medal, then fine. They just have a gold medal.
These are the playoffs, Kevin. And you're out there telling me it's awesome that the Dutch swept speed skating. I'm telling you, it's lousy and Americanism.
No. I did not say it was awesome. Okay? I said it was impressive. There's a difference.
At the end of the night, I want to hear an anthem I know the words to.
I want to hear an anthem I can sing along to without having to read the translation on the screen.
There is no translation. They play their anthem, I turn it off. Okay? Guess what? I don't care what anybody says. I live in the greatest country. Oh, slow down. I live in the greatest country in the face of the earth. I want my athletes to reflect that. You're over there telling me. You should see. See what?
Wow.
What do you think is so cool when Michael Phelps wins? He's an American. You got to root for your team. Your team,
well,
okay?
I still root for my team.
You're over there going, wow, the Canadians swept snowboarding. Yay.
I said it's impressive. I mean, sometimes you just have to accept the fact that somebody's better. You're talking to somebody who's accepted that in the last two sports I've followed.
This is the same Kevin Herr who is disgusted that Andy Dalton is having more success than Ben Roethlisberger?
That's professional sports. This is not professional sports.
Whoa,
and I don't care. And I don't care what you say. They're not getting paid to do this.
Yes, they are.
Not the not $4 million, with the exception of maybe hockey, but that's a different story.
Yeah, but they're all getting paid, and they all get medal bonuses.
I understand
that. They're all professionals. This is not 1956.
But it ain't $4 million.
So what? Money's money. I'm not making $4 million either, but I'm doing exactly the job I want to do. What's the difference?
I'm not saying there is a difference. I'm just saying that the big you're asking me why I root for, or not root, but why I accept a second or third when I don't accept it for, like, my favorite NFL team or Major League Baseball team. Because they're not getting paid $4 million to be the best they are.
What's the difference? They're getting paid to do exactly what they want to do. Okay, that kid Jason Tertemann goes down that luge run tomorrow. I want him to win.
And as do I.
And I am not going to sit there and go, oh, it's adorable. Look at the Swiss. Wasn't that great? Swiss went 1, 2, 3.
But if he wins a bronze medal, I'm going to be just as excited as if he won a gold. Okay.
There is a relative sense as to what everything is. You do have to do things in relative terms, I agree with. Okay? Aaron Hamlin winning today in the luge of bronze is a huge accomplishment because no American's ever done it before. It's like Billy Koch in the 1972 Winter Games in Sapporo. Okay? Getting a silver medal in cross country. It had never happened before. And now you are currently freaked out. I know that.
Do you know the only sport the United States has never medaled in?
Biathlon.
That is correct.
All right. So when you look, there's a relative sense. So if Jason Tertemann in doubles tomorrow gets a bronze, it's a huge accomplishment. Huge. So there's a relative sense based on the sport. Now, speed skating, you mentioned the Dutch. That's a huge disappointment because the United States used to dominate those events. I mean, that used to be a U.S.-dominated event. It would be the equivalent of Norway not winning any medals in cross-country.
Well, it's like I said, it's now the Dutch, it's their national sport.
Yeah, well, yeah, and you're out there going, this is great. It's not great.
Okay. Well, I respect it.
No, I want to win.
No, I want to win. Okay. All right, I get it. You know what? I'm sorry. You're not going to change my mind on this. And I don't I can't sit here and have a debate with you about this because I don't know why I feel differently about the Olympics. The only thing I can tell you is I feel different about
feelings.
The Olympics.
Let's examine your feelings for a moment.
Oh, please. 3 years ago, I had to examine my feelings after working with you on this show.
Oh, that sounded like a cruel insult. This show is about kindness and giving. It's
sure
not about insults.
Right.
I think you need to re-examine where you're coming from. Your bitterness
maybe
is showing
right.
through.
Maybe you're right.
So you don't know why you feel this way.
No, I really can't put it into words. I don't know why
How did you feel about your mother and father growing up?
I think it has a lot to do with the fact that it's only every 4 years you get a chance to do this. So that's why I think it's acceptable to be second or third, to think that you're the second or third best in the world for the next 4 years.
I think everything's relative. Hannah Carney, for example, it's a huge disappointment for her. She expected to win.
Absolutely true.
So she gets a bronze. So her bronze medal is different than Aaron Hamlin's bronze medal. They're the same on the medal count, but they're different in terms of how each athlete feels about it. What Aaron Hamlin does, oh my God, can you believe this happened? As opposed to Hannah Carney, who is, oh my God, I can't believe this happened.
No, I agree with that. I completely agree with that. And that's why I was saying earlier with Julia Mancuso's bronze, she was ecstatic. I mean, she was absolutely ecstatic about a bronze medal because she wasn't expected to do anything.
Yeah, I understand that. I do understand that. But, like, you know, like 8 second lead, I mean, in skiing, which gone. Not bad. Yeah.
By the way, the United States is second all time behind Norway by 50 medals.
All in cross country.
Probably true. Yeah. I mean, they've won 107 gold medals through the Winter Olympics.
I'm in awe. All right, so couple things, couple notes moving forward. Sean White, nothing. Another nothing day for the big names.
Disappointment.
The other big names seem to be coming through for the other countries. All right. Well, you're over there. You're doing a slow burn, aren't you?
I can see you seething. That way you always I did
text that to you. When did I text that? I could see you seething.
What it was when we were arguing via text about Jerome Bettis not making it into the Hall of Fame.
No, we weren't arguing. I felt bad for you.
Yeah, right.
I did. I felt bad for you. I just, but unfortunately I knew that Tuesday you weren't going to make it, and I didn't want to tell you. I talked to enough people.
Well, I'm glad you held the disappointment until...
Well, no, I wanted you to build up the excitement, and then the big fall. I mean, it's perfect. Sorry. Oh, well.
And so
now you've gone to now rooting for the Dutch.
I root for anybody who has a compelling story when it comes to the Olympics.
Didn't you watch Austin Powers gold member?
Yes, I did. And?
and guess who they didn't like in there? The Dutch. And you're just like, you're on their bandwagon now. It's like,
Have you seen the parties at at the Holland House?
We might as well go over and have the show in Amsterdam because you're co-hosting.
I'm telling you, they know how to party at the Holland House.
Does Turtleman know you're rooting for the Dutch tomorrow?
I am not rooting for the Dutch tomorrow.
Do you have a flag of the Netherlands in your basement?
No, I do not.
Just checking. We're getting a little concerned here. Hey, Roger and I are a little worried about you right now. The United States plays the Netherlands in hockey. You're rooting for? Don't even bother saying it. All right.
No, I'm rooting for the United States, sure.
What? Why? Why go against your people now? You have basketball tomorrow night coming up at Jersey Shore. We also on the web tomorrow we'll have Shikellamy Wrestling. I, on the other hand, will be going to Bloomington, where I trust the sinkhole in the runway is fixed.
If you feel a little bump when you land, you'll know it hasn't been.
Yeah, well, hopefully the group in Mayberry there got it taken care of, and we can fly in. Wow. Well, I go into Bloomington tomorrow, and we know that over the years Indiana's had a great basketball program, and they certainly have earned a lot of units with the Big Ten as opposed to what Penn State's done in basketball. But I also look at their football program, and there's just one little part of this thing that does irk me a bit. And that deals with the fact that Penn State was denied bowl money the last 2 years. Now, hopefully they'll get the bowl game back this year. If they do, they'll get the money to go with it. But revenue sharing is done in this conference across the board. The new TV contract that Jim Delaney is trying to put together, I'm sure, is going to be astronomical and is going to benefit everybody across the board. I mean, last year, each school from television received $25.7 million. That's before Penn State's Learfield contract kicked in as well, which is a very important component of that, which helps make up for when you see coaches' salaries as high as they are. A good chunk of that's that TV radio money, and also in this case, it's Nike money too. And the head coach gets a Nike check and a Learfield check every June 30th and December 31st. And the bowl money comes out to between $3 and $3.5 million a year. Okay. Now, is that in the same ballpark as the 25.7? No. But still, it's helpful. And when you are not going to a bowl game, you still get that money. Now you're saying, why does this come up? Because Penn State's going to Indiana. Because I have watched for years, despite best efforts and so forth, Indiana is not a team that gets itself into the bowl pool very often. I think they've gone once in the last 7 or 8 years. Now, Bill Mallory, they had a little consistency of going to at least a bowl game. You look at what Penn State has done in the bowls, where they've gone to bowl games consistently, which means they earn the money for the conference, which goes into the pool. And they've gone to 3 bonus bowls, BCS bowls. You're saying 3. Rose Bowl 2008, Orange Bowl 2005. But what people forget about is that pre the labeling of the BCS, the bowl money kicked up exponentially from the major bowls starting in 1995, and then Penn State went to the 96 Fiesta Bowl, which brought a big bonus check to the Big Ten, which was then divided among the schools. So here's Penn State year after year going to Outback Bowl, Capital One, Rose Bowl, you know, Orange Bowl, Fiesta Bowl, things like that, where they've kicked in. And there have been certain schools along the way that have consistently not done well. Illinois, Indiana, Minnesota. And even Northwestern's kicked in its fair share. But there's certain schools that just haven't, and it's just the way it is, because we see it, you know, obviously we've seen it here in Penn State basketball. I mean, it's you know, it's kind of like been the what Indiana is to football. But the Indiana, the Illinois, the Minnesotas, and so forth, the Purdue's, have always received bowl checks, even when they didn't go. Now, you've heard the stories about, you know, loans for the athletic department, things like that, because they won't need it. It'll all be taken care of. They won't need it once the new TV contract kicks in. But when Penn State could have used its cut of the bowl money, they were denied it. And this is one of the reasons why, even though we are in a society that wants instant answers, where patience is truly a virtue, so you find out everything before you make decisions. So when I go into Indiana and I go past that stadium and I realized how in football they have contributed very little financially to the conference as opposed to Penn State, but yet have benefited completely financially through the years of the conference revenue sharing system. Because Penn State not only has been contributing its bowl money, they've been consistently delivering $4 million to the pool every year from home games that are either, if not sold out, at least selling 96,000 plus tickets. Because there's a sliding scale when it comes to how things work, that if you were at a top-out number, you put $1 million into the pool for a conference game. It used to be you had to split the gate. You kept half and the other half went into the pool. Well, they changed that because splitting the gate at Northwestern, splitting the gate at Indiana, splitting the gate at Minnesota or Illinois doesn't get you anywhere. So they put a new sliding scale in where the Ohio States, Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State, Wisconsin, Nebraska, they always kick $1 million in because their attendance is always up that high into the pool. The lower level teams kick in $650,000 per home game. And that's all divided by 12. That's the revenue sharing part. In basketball, the top out number is 65,000. The bottom out number is 27,000 based on your attendance. And same thing, put in, everybody gets a slice of the pool. And that part, I know the money went to something that could potentially be worthwhile. I'm not going to say, oh, it's absolutely worthwhile, because I don't like organizations that get money and it goes to paying salaries. I want it to go directly to helping somebody. So I don't know where the money went. But all I know is I've seen schools not do a good job of holding up their end of the participation financially, benefit from it, and the second Penn State needed it, they were denied it. Come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back.
Kevin says that he hopes I'm up at 2 a.m. to watch the women's downhill. And that is why, my friend, God created the internet. I'll look it up in the morning when I wake up.
Oh. Well, at least you'll be able to watch the replay.
I'm not going to stay up. No, I won't. I'm not going to see the replay. I got a game.
You can still watch the replay, though. That's what I'm saying. Women's halfpipe final tomorrow?
When?
What? When? It should be on the NBC Olympics page all day long, or on the Live Extra app.
Are they sponsoring us now?
No. Not that I'm aware of.
I told you to go out and get a sponsor for your Olympic moment. Did we do one today or not?
I did one today.
Oh, the Albertville thing? Okay, yes. Yeah, great. That's fabulous.
And then I did a bonus one by saying the United States is second only to Norway in all-time medals.
Sean Kerry or Drew Kelly, a big intro. We'll do one each hour. At 3:40 and 4:40.
Okay. Now.
Do I have to come up with all the ideas?
Yes, you do. All right. Now, I will say this. You talk about a lot riding on certain athletes. Shawnee Davis, there's a lot riding on the 1,000, I think. Because he is expected to be there.
Yes.
That'll be tomorrow.
And I know, and you're rooting for the Dutch.
I am not. And the double luge, that starts tomorrow at 9:15.
Now, that's personal. That's personal because that's our guy.
Right.
Okay, and you're still rooting for the Dutch.
I'm not rooting for the Dutch.
Does he know? I mean, in fact, you know what? I'm going to take to my Twitter account, which I never use, and I'm going to tweet him and tell him that you're rooting for the Dutch against him and see if it makes him go faster.
Listen, I'm telling you right now, the day you tweet, the world will come to an end. It will be the apocalypse, maybe even the zombie apocalypse.
I remember I was in Chicago last year for the Big Ten tournament, and you must have sent out something on Twitter about guests that day or something.
Probably.
Right. And we're getting off the bus. I didn't even have my phone with me. I'm getting off the bus. It's cold out, so I've got hands in my coat pockets. And Brian Segrist comes up to me and he says, "You just sent out a tweet." I said, "I did?" He goes, "I don't even see your hands." I said, "What did I tweet?" He goes, "You just tweeted what you got on your show today from Chicago." I said, "Really?" He says, "I swear I didn't see you do anything on the bus. You were just sitting there trying to stay warm." I go, "Yes." I said, "Kevin Hurst sent that out."
Anybody that knows you knows that that did not happen by your fingers or thumbs.
Brian just started laughing. He said, "Really?"
Yeah. What I find funny is people that know you and know that you're not a big Twitter guy, they will attach you in their tweets. You'll never see that.
I get attached in tweets?
Yes, Jeff Nelson did it the other day when you were introducing players.
Did he really?
Yes.
Yeah, on National Letter of Intent Day.
Uh-huh. I figured you knew about it.
No, I didn't know till just now.
I'm telling you, man, you are popular in the Twitter sphere.
And frankly, it's no surprise to this veteran campaigner.
Yeah, right. You're welcome.
Today's show brought to you by Crosser Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland. show ended up being an educational experience for me today. Maybe I ought to guard my name a little bit more.
How much do you like me now?